Welcome to Pack Tactics, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition homebrew campaign. With me today are three incredible people. We have Io, Ellie, and Cindy. And in our last episode, our band of kobolds with Fenix Sr., the elderly dragonborn paladin, headed north for a couple days because the train that they'd been on couldn't continue due to a cave-in. And so they are going to another train station to continue onward. About around the halfway point, they encountered a small town. Barely a town. It had three buildings. Technically, it had one building. Because the other two were giant mimics known as house hunters.
Oh, and, no.
Yes. And one of them was eliminated through... it was a team effort. It was totally a team effort. But the ending of it was really an episode of that wonderful YouTube channel, Will It Blend? And I'm still amused by this. and the other one was eliminated through a large bout of maniacal laughing and the casting of Wall of Flame.
I do like to do that.
Yes, I felt it was quite on brand. Most of that happened off camera. So let's see where we're going from here. You were able to get to the next train stop. A ticket was purchased for Marwise. And at this point... I left out a step. So once you got on the train, things were going pretty well. Fenix Sr. is incredibly nervous about trains. He does not appreciate them, probably because this particular train isn't always on the tracks. Sometimes it's airborne, which, if you're in an underground train, is not a sensation that you want to experience. If you're on an above-ground train, it's not a sensation you want to experience, and he's not having it so much. But you all get a point to go airborne, because... that's where we ended it last time. You all had to make a save to see if you went unconscious. So at this point, Zeely, if you could make a constitution save for me.
Excellent! I have an amulet that makes my constitution much higher now, and I am excited to try it out. Let's see.
Matter of fact, I will let you roll with advantage because you do have an advantage the other characters don't have.
Wings?
Yes. They're a built-in parachute.
I don't think I need the advantage.
No, with a 27, with a 27, you're fine. So everyone crashes to the front of the car that you're in. Marwise is unconscious and currently technically not underneath Fenix Sr., because it's the wall of the train that you impacted, but Fenix Sr. sort of, like, you hit the wall, and then Fenix Sr. hit after you. Gox goes through the door of this car to the next car, and is out of line of sight. You dimly think you heard him say, "Wee!" But you're not sure. I'll leave that up to Jen, because Gox is her character. She can decide if it's on brand or not. But otherwise, this train seems to have come to a almost sickening sudden stop. You are aware of screams and yells coming from other cars. This car was mostly empty except for the kobolds and dragonborn, because oddly enough, while kobolds are not entirely new to this world, they've been around for a decade or three, they haven't been publicly known for more than a decade, and a lot of humans don't get a little unnerved by kobolds. Just a little bit. So what would you like to do?
All right, first order of business is to wake Marwise up.
Okay. Marwise, I will allow you to make another constitution saving throw.
All right. And I got a 9.
Marwise mumbles something about 5 more minutes.
Well, let's figure out where we are. That seems like a good idea.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay, so what do you do?
Zeely open... Wait. Yeah. We're upright?
The train does seem to be upright.
Okay.
If it's shifted Zili off opens... of the wheel, off the tracks, you can't tell from here. I cut you off.
Zili opens the door.
Okay. You open what's left of the door because there is a gox-shaped hole in it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's, well, it's right next to the Marwise-shaped impression in the wall next to it, because as this was established in the last session, it is a Looney Tunes-esque smackdown into the wall. I mean, if you put some ears on it, it might even look like a Wile E. Coyote outline. Oh, I love those cartoons, but never mind about that. So you open up what's left of the door, and you see... There's that spot that's in between train cars where there's a little platform, and then there's that linkage, and then there's another platform, and then there's another door with a gox-shaped hole in the front of it.
Well, I guess I could... I should go see what we hit, aside from the ground.
Okay.
And I guess so it's good for the train to be on the ground again.
Okay, so you splash your way to the next car?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Splash your way through the ankle-deep water to the next car. Roll a perception check.
Is it possible we're not on the ground anymore, Zili?
Well, we're in some water. But I assume there's ground under the water, or else we would be sinking.
I don't know. Nodal trends float. I'm going to keep trying to wake Marwise.
Okay. So, what's the highest passive perception in the group?
So, my perception roll was a 20, not natural.
So I see, a 19 plus 1. Well, with a roll that high, you're fairly certain that this train is grounded. It's not bobbing the way that something that floats would be bobbing. It's not even moving in a way that you would assume would make the train be sinking. However, you are fairly certain that this water is rising.
Oh, crud! Zili, runs back to the car. The cavern is flooding. We have crashed in a flooding cavern, and frankly, I'm not a fan of this.
At this point, go ahead, Marwise, and make another con save.
Oh, my con's so bad.
You are a kobold.
So somehow I'm even more unconscious than I was a minute ago.
You are having the most wonderful dream. You are in this giant cavern. It is full of the most delicious of mushrooms. I would say like you're running through an open field, but you're kobolds, so.
Crash, I have a weird question. How big would you say a train car is?
Is it bigger than a bread box?
I would say, to answer your question, it is bigger than a bread box. You are absolutely right. It's about, this one car is about 30 feet long, roughly 10 feet wide.
On the size scale.
Oh, this car is, let me check. I want to say giant. I would say it's giant.
Oh, well.
I am going to ask you later what that was going to be about, but never mind. Never mind now. Moving forward.
Giant's too big.
So, Marwise is sleeping peacefully. Fennec Sr. is also out cold. He's probably fine. People tend to forget about him a lot. And the water is rising, but it's rising in a way that you don't normally like to see water rise. I mean, you don't normally like to see water rise in general. But it's... rising at one spot more than the rest of it.
Time to take a look at that spot.
So there are two pillars of water rising up, and after they rise up, they sprout arms, and each of them in one of their arms, water continues to extend out into what appears to be a trident, and once it has reached the form of a trident, it solidifies into ice. The trident, not the rest of the form.
You're right. I don't like to see water rise that way.
No, most people don't. I think it's time to roll for initiative.
Okay.
Eight.
A mighty eight.
And 22 for Daldane.
Since I'm still knocked out, should I roll? Or...
Yes, please, because I'm going to give you a chance to wake up every time you have your turn.
5. The dice hate me today.
Okay, so bad news, they go first. And they are going to make some attacks. Well, good news. The first one rolled a natural 1. So that attack does nothing. It also rolls, and this is going to be against Zeely. That's a 13.
13 is not going to hit.
Okay. And its last attack is a 26.
That's going to hit.
Okay. You are struck by a trident made of ice, and it does, according to this, I'm going to roll that. Ooh, 10 points of damage.
And at one point, even that would have been a pretty decent chunk of Zeely's hit points.
Yes, I don't think that just one of these would be a significant threat to the party. Unfortunately, there are two of them.
Yeah.
And this next one is attacking Daldane. That is a dirty 20.
That'll hit.
And that's going to be 6 points of damage. There's also a 21. Another 6 points of damage. And, ooh, a nat 20.
So 12 points of damage.
It's 1d6 plus 4. And that is 8 points of damage from that attack. Because I'm not using average damage, I'm actually rolling.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I decided to try something different today. So, Zeely.
Yes?
Would you like to rage?
No, because I'm not a barbarian. I am, however, quite angry. In a normal, non-barbarian-y kind of way.
I realize that I did something wrong with the initiative, but it'll work itself out after this turn.
Oh, you want me to go? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Quickened mirror image.
The train car is suddenly full of Zeelies.
And...
You get a Zeely. And you get a Zeely. And you get a Zeely. Check under your train seat. Everyone gets a Zeely.
And Zeely turns to the one that just hit her with a trident. Made of ice, and casts Chromatic Orb with a second level spell slot. Do I have pack tactics right now? I don't know how close Staldane is.
They're doing melee attacks, so yes.
Okay, they're close enough to each other that, all right.
Yeah.
21. And
okay.
I am attempting to do thunder damage.
Okay.
24.
Ouch! Look, all they wanted to do was say hi, which in their language is stab you repeatedly with the trident.
Well, I guess in mine, the proper response to that is not a wave hello and is in fact a chromatic orb.
It is frequently how you do say hello.
That's because things have a tendency of attacking me.
That too. All right, so Marwise, you're going to get there eventually. Give me another con save.
Nat 20.
Excellent.
Okay, so here's what happens. Now remember I said you were dreaming that you were in this wonderful cavern full of mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You become aware that it's filling with water quite rapidly. You have just enough time to take a gulp of air before the water rises up to the roof of the cavern. And you're floating in the middle of it. And from the depths, which is weird because you knew where the floor of the cavern is, it's not there anymore. Rising up from where the cavern floor used to be, where it's just this blank nothingness, is an eye, a very large eye. And then you wake up. And you were face up, because they were trying to wake you up. You were face up in water. You are slightly floating. but the water's not deep enough for you to be floating freely. Like, you can feel the floor underneath you. You can feel the carpeting, which they're going to have to rip that out. There's going to be mold after this. There's no way you're going to clean that well. You are prone, and you see two water creatures with tridents fighting your friends.
All right. I'm going to try to get on my feet and cast a spell.
Okay.
I'll cast Spiritual Weapon again, because that was worked pretty well last time.
Beings of water, will they blend?
And I not want the attack roll for the manifested weapon.
Okay. How does it fail?
I'll manifest a sword again, and I'll try to make a stabbing motion towards one of the trident-wielding creatures, and I'll miss it by a lot and end up just going to town on an innocent train seat.
That train seat never did anything to you. Actually, wait. No.
You have pack tactics.
Oh, yes. You are correct. You get to roll again.
Oh, okay.
A mighty 11. Okay. Well, that is unfortunately not enough to do damage. So what you see happening is you manifest a spiritual weapon. The sword slides towards where the heart would be for this creature. And right before it hits, a layer of ice appears on its outer edge. And the sword bounces off the ice. Now, casting spiritual weapon, is that a bonus action or is controlling it a bonus action?
It says has a bonus action. I can move it up feet. Doesn't mention anything about action towards just making attacks, just that I can. So I think if it's mostly just staying in the same spot I manifested, it just kind of is. Casting is one bonus.
Okay, I was mainly asking because I was wondering if you had the ability to do something else this turn. Which you... Is having an attack a bonus action? Yes. As a bonus action on your turn, you can move the weapon and repeat the attack. So all this was a bonus action. You still have an action good to go. What else would you like to do?
Well, might be ill-advised, but I suppose I'll try making a melee attack with my hammer.
You're going to smash it with a hammer. I am on board with this plan. You should wait for Daldane to polymorph it into a flea. And put it in a box. 22 with another nat 20. All right. Well, it is made of water, so it does have some resistance, but go ahead and roll your beautiful damage, and then we'll have it. 2d4.
Okay.
And you rolled 1d4 minus 2. Ouch. Type of fun. You're still doing minus 2. That's okay. So because it's giving us a dice.
Because her strength is minus 2. She's as bad as her constitution is, her strength's even worse.
Yeah. I see. I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt here. But you're kobolds. That makes sense. So that is 3 rounded down. You're doing 1 point of damage to it. You chip off some of that ice armor.
But I shout mightily while doing it.
It's epic. The whole action scene was actually in slow motion as Marwise ran forward and wielded the mighty hammer and went through, and you saw it glance off, and there was actually a close-up shot, a macro image, if you will, of little shards of ice flying off in various directions. And the camera goes wide angle and you see you haven't done any damage. Okay, moving on. Daldane.
All right. This change in initiative order has completely changed what I was going to do.
Yes, and that was a mistake on my part.
So instead of casting Enhance Ability, I'm going to cast Vampiric Touch.
Just this once, the spell component for Vampiric Touch may be a straw.
Do I get pack tactics on spell attack? Yes.
Any attack.
Okay, does a 16 hit?
Neither one's strong enough.
Okay.
You do manage to reach out and touch someone, but in doing so, you put your hand on the ice. that these things are manifesting as a form of armor. And once it does that, the ice is not actually a part of them. Damage to the ice doesn't do damage to them.
Gotcha.
Which you didn't know before until you tried to suck the life out of them. Okay. Next up.
And I'm going to give Marwise a dose of Bardic Inspiration.
Sounds good. Okay. So, Zili, when you cast Mirror Image, how many did you make?
I believe it's four. Three. There are four of me, including the real one. And they're all displaced.
Okay. So there's a lot of you here, and these things are going to attack randomly.
Whenever I get attacked, if I roll a d20 to see if it's actually a duplicate being attacked.
Okay. That makes it easier for me to roll randomly. Okay. Marwise, the one that you smacked it in the back turns and faces you. And it does that thing where actually, since it's liquid, it doesn't turn around to face you. It's just its back is now its front. That is a 16.
Doesn't hit.
And a dirty 20 for 7 points of damage. And the last attack is a 17. Does a 17 hit? I forget.
Nope, my armor class is 18, so that one's a close call, but I managed to avoid it.
Okay.
Or block it with my shield.
Fantastic. And, oh, check that out. The other one goes for the sorcerer. That is a 27.
Disadvantage, remember I have the cloak. Still 27?
No, I rerolled the 27. That is now a 14.
I cast shield as my reaction to give myself a plus 5 bonus to AC and raise my AC to 19.
Okay. And my other two rolls were both dirty 20s, but that's not at disadvantage. So
I did that wrong. I should have rolled the d20 to see if it hit one of the duplicates first because they have a different AC than I do.
Well, I'm not checking the other rolls yet, so go ahead and roll your d20. That's a 3.
Yeah, that was against me, so I guess I didn't do that wrong.
Okay, so you bring your AC up to 19 and it bounces off.
Yep.
Okay, so this next roll is either going to be a dirty 20 or that's a 15. So that bounces, and then the last attack is a dirty 20 or... higher. No. So that last attack is going to get through your shield, unless it's hitting someone else.
It is going to be hitting me.
That is 6 points of damage.
All right.
That's their turn. And Zili is up.
No.
What?
Ellie's up.
We switched the order.
She went right before the order.
Oh, she goes before them. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I did skip her turn at the very beginning.
Okay.
That was a me problem.
Okay, right. In that case, yes, I am up. And yes, I am going to throw another chromatic orb at the thing that keeps trying to hit me in the face with an ice trident.
That's a 12. And a 19. The 19 hits.
All right. And that roll was not nearly as good as the other one. 7 thunder damage.
The inside of it sort of just like poofs out a little bit. Like when you see an explosion underwater. And then it forms back together again. It holds one limb up to where its mouth would be. As if to emphasize that it just felt like it burped.
Yeah. Like, you're doing much better.
Marwise.
All right. First thing is I'm going to use a bonus action to attack with the spiritual weapon that's still manifest because it stays up there for a whole minute.
And it counts as a magical weapon, so this thing does not have resistance to that.
Wow.
27, it's a glancing blow, but you've hit. That's a nat 20 right there, so it's going to be double damage that it's not resistant to.
All right.
Uh, head.
All right.
14 points of damage. It's not a fan. It's water, so it'd be a propeller. Thank you. I'm here all week. And for your action?
All right. Still don't have a lot of options since not many spells are going to be more useful than the manifested weapon. So going to do another standard attack roll.
Unfortunately, your highest roll there is a 17, and that is not quite enough. Close.
All right. Still swinging my hammer and shouting dramatically.
All right. Daldane.
All right. Is the water still rising?
We've sort of slowed down time for this because each turn is 6 seconds, so you don't... there's not enough time has passed since it started for you to tell for sure.
Then I'm going to make another vampiric touch attack.
Okay. 24 will hit, but let's see if you crit.
No, I do not.
Let's go with the 24 then. 12 points of damage. So you are able to stop just before you get brain freeze. You, however, would not recommend this Ors Julius. Anything else?
Gonna stab it with a dagger.
This is a regular dagger or a magical dagger? I forget.
It's a regular dagger, unfortunately.
Okay. I know Zeely has a magical dagger, but I would never she'd give it to somebody else.
I gave it to Sox.
Okay, who is not currently here?
Indeed.
Okay, that's a 7, that's a 7 and a 10. And a either 10. Of those is going
either
to
either of those is going to
hit.
Spoosh.
Splish splash. The bath is occupied.
Yes.
All right. Next up is their turn. Let's roll to see who they're going for. All right. This first one is going for Zeely.
Okay. It is, in fact, going for a fake Zeely.
It doesn't do very well against the fake Zeely. That's a natural one.
Zeely! Grins.
Second attack is a 14.
That is going to hit one of the fake Zeelies and it dissipates.
Okay. And the third attack is a 13.
That is going to hit and dissipate another fake Zeely.
Okay. And the other one is going after Daldane.
Okay, it's got to hit a 13 or better.
Okay. And pro tip, when rolling to see if you hit, don't pick up a d6.
Yeah, you're not going to hit if you do that.
Actually, with their plus to hit, it still could. It would be very difficult, but it could. That is 3 hits without its bonus hit. So that's going to be... all said and done, 19 points of damage.
All right. I'm glad I stole some health from it.
It tried to get it back. It didn't work very well. Turns out blood is thicker than water. Zeely.
Yes.
What would you like to do?
Chromatic Orb. Third level spell slot.
Okay. That's a 22 or...
And I will roll again to see if I crit... I guess I'm definitely getting a 22.
Yeah, 22 or 22, whichever's higher. Which one is like a higher volume of 22?
I think I'm going with the 22.
Okay. Just remember, 2 plus 2 can equal 5 if you have extremely high volumes of 2.
And that will be 5D. And I do 22 damage.
22 is written in the stars. 22 points of damage.
22 is Seely's lucky number, apparently.
Apparently so. Okay, so you blow off this thing's arm with this attack. It does reform it instantly, but it reforms it with the mass it already has, so it's a bit shorter than it was before. Not quite kobold height, but it's getting there. All right. Anything else? Zeely laughs maniacally. Okay. on brand. Marwise.
All right. Start off with another attack from the manifested spiritual weapon.
Okay. You rolled 2 9s. What's up with Sidekick? Keeps hitting the same numbers over and over again. But never mind about that. You do still have Daldane's inspiration, but that's not going to be enough for this to bring it over the threshold. But you could do something else.
All right. Rather than attack, I think I'm going to cast Bless on the... How many of us are fighting the water creatures right now? Because
3 of you.
All right, so yep, that's just enough for Bless. So I'll cast Quick Bless, so now everyone can roll a 1d4 on any of their attacks.
Awesome. All right. Daldane.
I think more Vampiric Touch since I've got it up.
Okay, so your highest roll is a 16.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't
hit. You get to add a d4 because of the Bless.
Yeah.
Oh.
That just takes it to the what you need.
All right. 8. 8 damage against the closest water dude.
It is now bloodied, or watered, or whatever. All right. Next up, this is going to be good. Also a pro tip, D12s are also not D20s. The D12 does not get enough love. It does upset me that D12 is not used enough in this game. So I need to look something up.
At least no one's accidentally rolled an Eldritch die yet.
I roll a 3.14159. The die is non-Euclidean. Actually, if you roll that, you probably rolled a circle. Thank you. I'm here all week. Okay. Ooh. Yes, this is good. So, you want to know the cool thing about kobolds? Well, one of the cool things, one of the many cool things about kobolds? You're short. So
we are.
Yes. Now, this is a disadvantage at times. You have disadvantage when trying to get something off the top shelf. If you are trying to get multiple items at a store and you lose track of your companions, it's hard to see them over the aisles. A lot of problems with that. That said, hypothetically, if you were in a situation where you were fighting creatures of medium size, like, say, beefed up water elementals, and a dragonborn paladin had just regained consciousness and decided to use his breath weapon, he would be able to angle it in such a way that you would feel a bit drier than you did before, a bit warmer, but you wouldn't be taking any damage. That's 18 points of fire damage. And the roof... Oh, the roof. The roof is on fire.
We don't need no water.
You're currently fighting the water.
Exactly. We don't need it.
And one of them did make their save, though. So they take half.
Wait! Wait, fire works on these things?
It steams them. They're not happy about it. One could say they are steamed.
Well, then!
Oh, no. Oh, no. The DM is somewhat scared. But that was Fenix's turn. Now it's the elemental's turn. And a new challenger has appeared. Ouch, I just smacked my microphone. That was an unpleasant sensation. It probably sounded bad, too. So that is a hit. That is a hit. That is a hit. That is a miss. That is a miss. So one of them hits him 3 times. One of them misses them 3 times. Okay, I'm going with that. That's 24 points of damage. Okay, so that did buy you some time. Next up is Zeely's turn. Oh, no. May I insert that wall of fire may not work well in the enclosed space that you're currently inhabiting? And Zeely goes silent because I just informed her that her plan wasn't going to work well.
No, I'm just checking something. I'm checking one of my feats. Well, I say one of my feats, but I only have one feat.
Technically, you've got two.
I have 2 feet.
I know, but...
But...
I'm distracting you.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Oh, that doesn't work because it's safe for half. Oh, I know what I can do. I cast Investiture of Flame.
What does that do?
All right, it's probably not really worth burning my 6th level spell on this, but also I haven't cast it before. So Zeely basically erupts in fire. Flames race.
He thinks that he aimed wrong and that he caught you on fire.
Flames race across your body, shedding bright light in a 30-foot radius and dim light for an additional 30 feet for the spell's duration. The flames don't harm you until the spell ends. You gain the following benefits: you are immune to fire damage and have resistance to cold damage. Any creature that moves within 5 feet of you for the first time on a turn or ends its turn there takes 1d10 fire damage. You can use your action to create a line of fire 15 feet long and 5 feet wide, extending from you in a direction you choose. Each creature in the line must make a dexterity saving throw. A creature takes 48 fire damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one.
Okay.
And I'm going to quicken this spell so that it takes my bonus action rather than my action.
Doldan, give me a dexterity save.
Oh, I'm not doing the line of fire thing.
I know, but any creature that's close to you can take fire damage. So I'm having Daldane roll a dex save to see if Daldane gets out of the way before you make the spell go live.
For the first time on a turn or ends a turn there, moves within. I don't think things that are near me right now, but also she got a 25, so...
Yeah, so mechanics-wise, we're going to say that Daldane saw this coming and was able to, like, just sidestep far enough out of the way that... Dolde may, in fact, equip a marshmallow later on. but
Dolde
will not be. Dolde will not be saying, "I'm still alive, just fairly badly burned."
And using that as a bonus action, Zeely's just going to cast Firebolt at the thing that keeps trying to hit her in the face with the trident.
The one that's almost dead.
Yes. 22.
A
22. So, yep, another 22.
Be right back. I'm adding a 22 to your character art. Oh, so close, but it's a 28.
And I somehow just did 28 damage with cantrip. Okay.
You've done worse or better, depending on whose perspective you're looking at.
True.
How do you want to do this?
The thing erupts in a... Well, it comes to a boil very quickly. Right. And now there is steam everywhere.
There's not much in this car that's going to be salvageable after this fight. The wallpaper is starting to come off the walls.
Well, it was already waterlogged.
Does anyone have a tea bag? Or a cup? We can make this work, people. All right, so that's Ely's turn. Marwise.
All right. First up, spiritual weapon. So the highest of that is 25. Is that a hit?
Hold on a second. 25? You rolled a 22 and a 17.
Yeah, but they have 1d4 for the bless.
Oh. Well, yes. The 22 by itself was high enough.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, another 22.
It's contagious.
Well, all right, yeah, not the best.
It's harder to see. The room is very steamy right now. You're dimly aware of a bunch of old guys wearing towels in the back pouring water on some hot rocks. And for your next trick?
All right, another attack roll.
Unfortunately, a 16 and a 14, neither of those is high enough. But you do, like, wait, do you still have Dhaldane's inspiration?
I haven't used that yet, so.
So you could use that on the 16.
Is that 1d6?
1d10.
You hit.
Oh, well, dear.
The bad news is I have to round down the damage because they're resistant to bludgeoning non-magical attacks. But the good news is that doesn't do anything because of 2 minus 2. Oh, well. You're still doing a ton of damage, just not with the hammer.
Yeah.
That's okay. Not every situation will let you blend a house. Dhaldane.
Oh, I'm back up.
Yep.
Hang on, I'm checking something.
Standing by.
I am going to cast Dissonant Whispers as a 4th level spell.
Sounds fun.
It has to make a Wisdom 14 saving.
Let me look up its Wisdom. Nope, it fails.
Alright. That's 21 damage. Sorry, Zeely. And it has to use its reaction to flee from me as far as it can.
Okay. Its reaction specifically?
Yeah.
Okay, so that happens this turn then. All right. It just submerges under the surface. The trident's still there, but now it's just bobbing. And you're in a train car that is submerged and on fire with no enemies in sight.
Control flames. Control flames, control flames. Control flames, control flames.
I assume Zeely's making the fire bigger.
Huh?
Well, I said, I assume Zeely's making the fire bigger.
No, she's putting it out. No, she's putting it out.
All right, well, we've been recording for just over an hour. You want to take 5? Or you want to keep going and finish this off?
Let's keep.
I'm okay with keeping going.
Cindy?
I can go on. Doesn't make much difference to me.
Okay. We were at a good pause point, so I thought I'd give you the opportunity. All right. So you are out of combat because this thing fled and didn't come back. And the train car is now half filled with smoke, half filled with steam, but no longer on fire. The water level is rising, but it's not rising as fast as it was earlier.
I think the cavern's still flooding.
Now, I will tell you, as basically a result from the previous perception check that you had where you noticed the water was rising, this particular part of the tunnel that you're in with this train, the lower end of it, it's angled, and as you go forward towards the engine, that is lower down.
Oh, dear. I'm going to go and try to keep anyone else who got knocked out from drowning.
Okay. So you head forward into the next train car?
Yes.
Okay. Next train car has several people who do not appear to be in the best of spirits. The train staff, some of them appear to be injured, some of them appear to be fine, but the people who are more able-bodied do seem to be tending to the injured in this particular car. There is another gox-shaped hole in the door in the front of this new car.
The water level's rising, but not incredibly quickly when you can travel, get further back to higher ground. And Zeely continues.
Several people nod, and before you are out of this car, some of them are already heading back the way you came. All right. The next car has a strange creature. And hold on a second. I love this program because I can do this. So imagine, if you will, something that looks like that, but it's dead.
Okay, that's weird, but really not a priority.
It has a lot of slashes all over its body, and its head has been taken off. The head is there, it's just not.
Oh, Gox was here. Okay, Zeely continues forwards.
All right. You continue forward, and you reach a point where the water right between this car and the next car is getting to the point where if you want to keep going, you are going to have to tread water.
I cast shape water so that I can walk on top of the ice.
Okay.
Actually, no. That might be a problem if there's anyone that needs rescuing. Oh, no, wait. I'm short. I'm really short. Okay, I cast shape water and walk on top of the ice.
Okay. When you get to the end of this car, I'm assuming everyone else is just following along.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, because the other option is Ely goes off and has her own adventures, which is doable. The world will burn, but she'll have fun doing it. And then cast control flames a lot, make it all better, just slightly singed, more than slightly singed, mostly singed. Okay, it's a charcoal briquette, but point is, she put it out afterwards. I think I might be more maniacal than Zili in some cases, and this disturbs me on certain levels. Okay, so the next car is the engine. And at this point...
Then there's a gawk-shaped hole in it.
No, you do not see a gawk-shaped hole. You would not see a gawk-shaped hole because the door to the engine happens to be made of steel, and it's got one of those wheels in the center of it that you would see in a submarine, and it is closed.
So we haven't found Gox yet.
No, you haven't found Gox yet.
Is Sox with us?
No. Remember, you haven't seen Sox.
Oh, right. Sox wandered off.
Sox wrote a note, but Fenix's horse ate it. There is a window in the door. It's also a circular window, like a porthole. It has a thick glass.
All right, well, suppose we should try to take a look at least.
Okay. Normally you would not be able to, but considering how high the water has risen, you can sort of swim up to the door and use the wheel in the middle of it as a foothold and pull yourself up to the window. And when you do so, you see someone who appears to be a young man that is like walking back and forth and wringing his hands and looking incredibly nervous.
All right, so if he's walking back and forth, I take it the room he's in isn't flooded?
No. The cabin of the engine car appears to be airtight, or at least watertight, for now.
Oh, I know how to fix this. Well, I mean, not fix this. I can't fix the train, but I know how to rescue him. I dimensioned Orr in.
Okay, he immediately screams and jumps backwards.
Oh, sorry.
Several things get knocked off the shelves behind him.
Wait, I made a mistake. You're taller. You're a lot bigger than me. Wait, actually, is he bigger than me? What species is he?
He's human.
Okay, not a gnome. Okay. Wait. Oh, I'm not sure I can dimension door you back out.
You would be.
Hi, I'm stealing.
Probably. Hi. I'm Kevin.
Are you hurt?
No, not currently. I have been, but I'm better now. Thank you. Did you change colors?
Did I change? Oh, long story.
And, oh, those are new. He's looking at the wings. Yeah, I'm sure you changed colors. Weren't you brown before?
Oh, that was Gox.
Oh, there's more than one of you. Okay. You might not want to be here. I think we're underwater now.
Yeah, you're underwater now.
Okay. Yeah, that's not good. This train shouldn't be underwater.
I got that impression.
Yeah. I'm sorry, who are you again?
Zeely.
Hi, Zeely. I'm Kevin.
Are you okay?
I think so. I get that question a lot. For some reason, people keep checking my head, too. They think I got hit on it.
Okay, I have an idea for getting you out of here that doesn't require me to dimension door something bigger than me.
Well, we could just open the door, right?
Yeah, but then the water will come in.
Well, it might. Doesn't have to.
Which direction does the door open?
It opens out.
Oh, do you do magic? That would be helpful, then. You can keep it from...
Me?
Sorry,
no, I don't do magic. I mean, magic's cool and all, but no, it's not me.
Zeely, how many times can you cast Dimension Door?
Several.
Okay, so Kevin has gone over to the door because he's got the idea that you want to be able to get out of here. And he opens up the door. the water does not rush in.
Oh, okay. Are you sure you don't do magic?
No, I don't do it. They do.
Who is all right. The situation?
Oh, there's more of you. Huh, that's cool. Them.
I turn around and look behind me.
No, they're over there. He points at a wall. A cavern wall.
Zeely waves at the wall.
One of them waves back. He sort of leans down and whispers to you conspiratorially. They think you're really cool.
Oh, well, thank you.
So, you might want to be going away. It looks like the water's higher than it was before. That's not necessarily a good thing.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, they say something's letting the water in.
Are you going to be able to get out all right?
I usually do.
Does this happen often?
Well, there was this one time with a robot horse that was kind of weird, but yeah, I made it through that okay. The robot bear saved me.
Okay.
Excellent. We'll be going to try to plug a hole then.
Yes. What direction did the brown one go?
I was a little distracted. That happens sometimes. But which way did you come from?
The back of the train.
Okay, did you see her?
No.
Then she went that way, and he points towards the front of the train.
Further into the water?
He shrugs. I guess so. I mean, you can swim, right?
I'm not sure I've ever tried.
Usually I don't need to swim.
Oh yeah, the wings.
Also, I know shape water.
That's cool. So if it wasn't blatantly obvious, Kevin is really not all there.
Okay, Kevin. Well, stay safe. And we're going to go find Gox and plug a hole.
All right. I guess I'll go check on the other passengers. That sounds like a good idea. My fidget spinner. He grabs a small thing that you've never seen before that it appears its only purpose is to spin around the central axis.
Back
the way it came. I might have the same fidget spinner that he has, actually. Okay. So what would you like to do now?
Let's see if we can get any further down.
Oh, you can. Question. Who's carrying that diamond you found before?
I am.
Okay. You are very much aware of its properties now because you've had a long rest since you found it. At this point, probably two long rests. So if you wanted to be attuned to it, you could be. And you do know the spell that's inside of it.
Okay. I've been holding off.
It is a one-time use spell.
You have to put a spell back in.
I've been holding off on doing it until we had Gox with us. But...
So, I'm assuming that you're going to continue trying to go in front of the engine at this point?
Yes.
Okay. It's a very narrow gap between the train and the cavern wall. These caverns were carved out specifically for these trains, and... to carve them to be larger would have required more energy and work and time than was necessary, so they didn't bother. But it's not too hard for Kobold to shimmy through. Fennec Sr. has a bit more difficulty, especially since he's wearing plate.
Moldearth.
I just rolled an athletics check for him, and he manages. And then suddenly he's managing a lot more because the tunnel's suddenly wider. And he thanks you for that. Okay, so when you get in front of the train, there's maybe only about a foot or two of gap between the water surface and the top of the cavern. You cannot see the bottom from where you're treading water, not because it's too dark, but because the water is a bit murky. And you do see Gox up ahead. He. Gox is a he. Player is a she, though. Vox is holding on to his battle axe, which he has shoved into the wall and is using it as a handhold. Hi, guys.
You all right over there?
I think so. Hey, did you see that creature? That was pretty fun.
I did. Yes.
I don't know what it was, but it was trying to eat people. So I stopped it.
And you did a very good job of it.
Thanks.
Can't eat people when its head isn't connected to the rest of it.
That's how you know they're dead.
How far is Dox from us?
Less than 20 feet at this point.
Okay. I'm going to use the gem then to cast water breathing on all of us.
Okay. You are all now ready for an underwater adventure. But that is where we're going to end it for today. I'm fairly certain that Io has another game that starts at 3-ish.
Yeah.
And I don't want to extend this out to the point where we have to worry about rushing from one game to the next. So, this was fun. I've been joined by three incredible people, Io, Ellie, and Cindy. Is there anything that anyone wants to plug?
The hole in the wall is letting the water in.
Yes, this is important, and you'll probably be able to do that next week if no one dies. And if they do, you can use their corpse to plug the leak.
I have a social media site at elec.xyz. And Io's mom has books for sale at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
And actually, I think that's everything we usually plug. All right. So until next time, have fun.